Okay. I don't know. Merry Christmas, everybody. It's no, I think you heard me enough. Glad you guys are here today. I look for an opportunity to see if I know the mic's not on, I could talk really loud, but when it's on, I don't want to be screaming at everybody. Try to invite people to church, get them out next week. It'll be a great time. More little worship, prayer, testimonies, Lord's Supper, which I forgot to tell Gloria to mention. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together also. Wonderful way to bring in the new year to do those things and trust that maybe in this year is the time that the Lord will return for us. So are you ready? Are you ready? The materials that Gloria mentioned for the Encounter Jesus are outside of the church, but we're going to have somebody there to hand them out. But take, you know, if you're going to put a few up around the neighborhood, whatever, there's some old half sheets there. The big posters we're going to hold back, and we're going to put them strategically around the area. But the half sheet posters, you're welcome to take as many as you need right now, as long as you're going to use them. Don't just put them on the, you know, in the car and throw them in the back seat. If you're going to use them, take as many as you need, because we love to spread the word. Lord, bless your word to our hearts. And let us hear it, receive it, and do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever heard the Christmas story before? No. No. What? What story? You know, it's interesting. We hear that story so often that we really know it well that we don't really think about it as much as we really should, in the right way that we should. We don't. We heard it so much, and we talk about his birth. And everybody loves this story because it's a baby. You know, everybody loves a baby story. You know, a baby came into the world. You know, you like babies, except when you have to change them and feed them and, you know, all that stuff. But you love babies, you know. It's a nice, harmless baby that was born, you know. For unto you is born this day, it says in Luke 2, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know, last week I gave you a Christmas story. It was from Revelation chapter 5. It was a Christmas story. We're going to take a little bit more of the traditional approach this week. Another translation of that scripture I just read in verse 10 and 11 says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. We celebrate Christmas because we celebrate good news. Do you know that most of the news we hear, and I don't mean just from the broadcast or whatever, is bad news? We do. We hear mostly bad news. And yes, in the broadcast, somebody did a study a few years back. I forget when it was. But I just remember that they said that 98% of broadcast news is bad news. Sprinkle in a little bit of a feel-good story here and there. But most of it's bad news. We hear so much bad news. People talk about bad news. We always talk about how bad everything is. Even when I got up this morning, you know what I said? It's raining on Sunday again. Another Sunday. Thank God it cleared up. I was like, another Sunday with rain. What is this? Like 20 in a row? It seems to be that way. You know, it's bad. We just always gravitate towards that bad news. But this is good news. You know what the angel said? He said it's good news, and it's good news that's meant to be celebrated. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Not just that we have Christmas time. Why do we celebrate it? The angel said it would cause great joy. I think you're going to hear some themes. By the way, we don't rehearse and plan our services, but I think we're already hearing a theme between what the songs, obviously Christmas songs played, what Joe shared, what Mark shared, what the video, which they showed me last night, said, can we show this? And I went, sure, it works. You know, praise God. You know, we don't plan these things, but you want to see a theme here today. There's great joy. And you know what the angel said the great joy would be? For all people. It's a good message that everybody needs to hear. Everybody needs to hear this message. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Did you notice something there? Because again, we're so familiar with this. I mean, even Linus is familiar with the story, right? He gets up and throws down his blanket. It's the only time he drops his blanket, I think, in the whole thing. He puts his blanket down and he recites that, you know, because they want to know what Christmas is all about, right? By the way, I did that one time here in this church. We were tasked years back to run the Salvation Army's Christmas toy program for South Philadelphia for a few years running. When they closed up shop down here, they didn't want to just leave the area, so they said, would you guys handle it for us? Because we had been working with them for years with other programs. And we said, sure. So out of between the Access Center and the church, we had over 500 families come and come to receive the gifts and toys for their children so that they can have, you know, a nice time at Christmas time. And part of the program was, you know, bring them in first, and they came staggered. We had different times set up for each group to come in. And I think we had like 10 different times or whatever during the day, maybe 50 at a time. I'm just estimating, I'm guessing from, you know, it's been a few years. And we would talk to them first, share the word of God with them, pray for them if they needed prayer, and then they can get their gifts and they can leave. And I had been thinking, what's the best way to capture their attention? They're here to get their gifts, their toys. And I just felt led to put on that scene from Charlie Brown Christmas, where they want to know what Christmas is all about, and Linus stands up and reads from Luke, or recites from Luke. Even Linus knows it's good news. But did you notice, we see it so much, did you notice that in there's three titles of Jesus in there? Did you notice? Did you catch the three titles? They said he's a Savior. We need a Savior, you know that? He's the Savior who delivers us from sin and death. He's the Christ or the Messiah, the one who fulfilled all what the law and the prophets said about the Messiah and shows that God is faithful to his word and his promises. And he is the divine Lord, the one who is the King of all creation, who entered into our world to take on human flesh. So when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate a Savior. Because listen, we need deliverance. We do. We celebrate a Christ, a Messiah, who in all of the Word of God, all of the promises of God, it says in 1 Corinthians, are yes and amen in him. We celebrate a Messiah, and we celebrate a Lord, a King, the Creator, the King of all kings, but the one who took on the nature of a servant. Let's look at that a little bit closely this morning, all right? Just for a few minutes. It won't be too long. A little more than a few, a couple more. A couple few, a little bit more, times three. A Savior. Well, a Savior is somebody who rescues somebody, typically. Somebody who saves somebody from trouble, from harm. What did Jesus do? What did he rescue us from? What did he rescue us from? What did he rescue us even for? You're going to find out here. To understand first Jesus' role as a Savior, we have to understand our situation. We were in desperate straits. We all, humanity, had sinned against God. We rebelled and we voluntarily, our choice, separated ourselves from our Creator, from our God, the one who gave us life. We did, by our sin. And that sin that we committed brought death into this world, brought destruction to this world, brought all the problems we see in our world today. Everything that you and I hear about, the bad news that we all grumble about and many people want to blame God for, well, guess what? We need to blame ourselves. We did it. We're the cause of all the bad news. We did it. Our sin brought death, destruction into this world. And everything around us is decaying and dying. And we even know on top of that, not only is that the result of our sin, but because God is holy, he needs to deal with sin and punish sin. And the punishment is ultimately eternal separation from him. And without Jesus, we are hopelessly, helplessly enslaved in our sin, and we are separated eternally from God, and we can never get back, never find our way back. We were born, listen, we were all born on a one-way track to hell. But that's where Jesus steps in. Jesus is perfect. He is the perfect Lamb of God. He was God, the Creator, who took on flesh. He came into this world and he lived a sinless, perfect life. He was human. He was born of the Virgin, but because he did not have a human father, he did not have the sin nature. So he was the perfect, sinless one in his birth, and he was the perfect, sinless one in his life, the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. I just want to remind you of something. He is the one who was sinless, but he chose to die a horrific death on the cross. Yes, he was a teacher and a healer and a miracle worker, all those different things, right? But he came to die. He chose this. He said, I will go. I will go. He took it on. He went to that cross, the horrific death of the cross. He was whipped. He was beaten. He bled. He died. And on top of that, he took the wrath of the Father, the penalty for sin upon himself. He chose that. But then he died, but rose 3 days later, victorious, establishing the victory that he was truly the perfect sacrifice. Because of his death, because of his resurrection, anyone who now repents and trusts him can know him as their Savior. Let me ask you a question, because you guys are a little quiet this morning, a little subdued. Now, I just want to see you kind of like, raise your hand for this one. It's a tough one, but raise your hand if you can. Is everybody here human? A human being? Wait, come on. I didn't see every hand yet. Are there any androids amongst us? And robots, because you know today, robots are going to say you can't tell the difference pretty soon, right? You know, well, you're all human? Okay, no Terminators here? No? Okay, all right. Well, guess what? If you raised your hand, you need a Savior. You need a Savior. You need a Savior. But I want to tell you something. Jesus did not come only to save you from something, which is hell, which is the most important thing. He saved us from that, but he also did something more. He saved us to something. What do you mean by that? He saved us from hell, but he also saved us for or to something. He saved us to have a relationship with him. Not just, get out of hell free card and then go about your way. No. Let's have a relationship together. Woo! Relationship with God. The Savior saved us from hell, but saved us to a relationship with him. He was the one, the Savior, the baby who made the reconciliation with God possible. There was no way we could have reconciled ourselves to God. We were completely separated from God. But he came and made the way to bring us back. And we are saved from sin, from hell, but to an eternity with our God, worshiping him, loving him, enjoying him, and being loved by him forever. Isn't that a beautiful thing? He's a Savior. He rescued us. But he's also Messiah. The Christ. In the Greek, it's the Christ. Christ the Lord. That's Messiah. It's the same thing. It means the anointed one. In fact, everybody, anytime somebody says Jesus Christ, they're saying to Jesus the anointed one, Jesus the Messiah. The Old Testament predicted the Messiah's coming. The New Testament reveals the Messiah who came. You know, in Jesus' time, there were a lot of people at that time, at least what the historians tell us, there were a lot of people at that time who were looking for the Messiah. Now, they were looking for a different type of Messiah, but there was a messianic fervency in Israel at that time, looking for a deliverer, somebody to rescue them from Rome and from, you know, the imperial forces of Rome. They were looking for that. And as they were looking for that, they knew that there were certain prophecies regarding that Messiah that they were expecting. And they didn't understand all the prophecies, and some of them they weren't even looking at. But some of the ones they were looking at is they believed that the Messiah was going to be a man. They believed the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. They believed that the Messiah was going to be a prophet like Moses. They believed that the Messiah was going to be a priest in the order of Melchizedek. They believed that the Messiah was going to be a king, a son of David. Some didn't believe this, but it was prophesied, but he would also be the one who would suffer before entering into his glory. Jesus made every one of these, or met every one of these requirements of the Messiah. Everyone, that's only a few. He met every one. You know, there's other ways Jesus shows himself to be Messiah. It's interesting, if you study this, this is one of my favorite parts of the study. All of the feasts of the Old Testament in some way show up in Jesus and in what he would do as Messiah. It's really interesting. In fact, what I mean is that the spring feast, Jesus already fulfilled all those spring feasts in his first coming. So what are you talking about? Well, he is and was and always will be our Passover lamb. He is our unleavened bread. He is our first fruits. Even the pouring out of his Holy Spirit happened on Pentecost. And he fulfilled them all in his first coming. And when he comes again, in some way, whether it's on the days or not, which I don't know because none of us know the day or the hour, but I wouldn't be surprised if somehow it is because just, I don't know, but our God, but I'm not saying it's going to be. So don't say Pastor Joe knows the day. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying I wouldn't shock me that when he does call us to himself on that time when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ, you know what? That's on the Feast of Trumpets. When he comes back to this earth to judge, it'll be the fulfillment of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. When he sets up his kingdom here on this earth and he dwells here for 1,000 years, he will fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles. Listen, Jesus is the Messiah. And the proof that he is the Messiah is overwhelming. I'm only just scratching the surface. It's overwhelming. But the truth was, when he came during his nativity, when he became incarnate, many didn't believe. They didn't. Because they were expecting, as you saw in that little video, they were expecting a mighty soldier, you know, to deliver them. They even expected him to come that way, like fully born, like fully man, you know, fully human and you know, 30-some years old, strong, and let's lead them again. And then this little baby came into the world. And a lot of them missed it. Most missed it. Some believed, though, didn't they? Some believed. The Magi, they believed. They weren't even from Israel. Somehow they were studying the scriptures. My personal opinion, Daniel set that up years ago when he was in that area part of the world, and I think they were still studying from when he laid it. I could be wrong, but that's just something I believe. They were studying the scriptures. They knew that it was coming. They knew the time was coming. They were looking for a sign. They saw the star, and they came. And who did they worship? The baby who they said was the Lord, the Messiah. The shepherds believed, didn't they? The Messiah. Simeon and Anna in the temple, they believed the child was the Messiah, the one they were waiting for. They said, let us depart in peace now, you know? We've seen the anointed one, the promised one. The other disciples eventually believed. The priest, it says, after Jesus rose from the dead, many of them then believed that he was and is the Messiah. So we celebrate a Savior, but we celebrate a Messiah who fulfilled all the promises of God concerning the Messiah and will keep his promises towards us. Because he's a promise keeper. He is. He fulfilled the promises and he keeps his promises. Because all the promises of God are yes and amen. You want to hear a couple of promises? You got a minute? Okay. All right. I'm past the 3 minutes I said earlier, but I'm going to go for a little bit longer. A few promises. How about this one? We already heard today, and everybody's saying, "Who is anybody here weary? Weary? Yeah. You might not want to raise your hand because you're too tired to raise it." You weary? Come to me, Jesus said, all who are weary, Matthew 11:28, and are burdened, and I will give you rest. I like King James, heavy laden. He's just weighed down. I will give you rest. That's a promise. Come to him. He will give you rest, even though you are weary and burdened, heavy laden. Maybe you're feeling like a little bit like, I got no direction in my life. I mean, yeah, I have a job and I do this and I'm retired and I knew what I used to do, but now I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. And I'm kind of doing stuff, but I don't really know. You know what Jesus said to us in Matthew 4:19? He said, come, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He promised it. Come and follow him. He'll teach you how to fish. Ooh, I don't like fish. I cooked a lot of fish yesterday. I'll be cooking a lot more today. I actually like fish, but I don't like the smell too much. I got my car washed twice. It still stinks. Meg washed all the clothes twice already. It's still, no, they don't smell now, but the car, it's coming along. I forgot to put a mat down, and it leaked into the, yeah, you know, that'll. But guess what? He says, I'm not going to take you fishing. I'm going to make you fishers of people. People! You want hope and a direction and a wife? Then do follow Jesus. And guess what? You're going to get people on the line and tell them about Jesus. be able to reel them in. I'm going to give you a long one, okay? Not real long, but a little long. Because there's a lot of promises in this one. I mean, I can go on with these promises for weeks and weeks and weeks. But listen to this one. John 14. Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. What? And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Wow. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, there's qualifications to that, but listen, here's one of them. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter. This is the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, and neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Wow. You feel like you're all by yourself? Jesus promised to be with you and in you. Promise. For some of you here today, he's next to you. The Holy Spirit has come next to you, helping you to understand your need for this Savior and Messiah. But for some of you, he's come to live within you when you've accepted him. He lives within you. And you say, yeah, I know, but I think he left me 4 years ago. He was here for a little while, but now he left me. You know, well, listen, you know what? Hebrews 13. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. These are promises. The Messiah will fulfill the promises in you that he said he would promise. Now, that's, again, if you're his. But he is the Messiah, the Christ. He is the Savior. And he is Lord. I said there were three, right? He is Lord. He is Lord. In our English language, we say the word Lord, and it means something that someone who has authority over somebody else. We don't use the term in our vernacular too much today. But, you know, even if you look back in olden times, you know, they would call it kings, lords, nobility, lords. They were lords and nobles, and those they had authority over people. They had power or control over people. That was person was a lord. Some people even called Jesus Lord, meaning a title of respect, like master, teacher, you know, that type of thing. But after he died and then rose again, the word Lord took on a whole different meaning. When they started then to say Jesus is Lord, you know what they were saying? Jesus is God. Jesus is the creator of all things. Jesus is the one who's from the beginning. When Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God, he was saying, you are risen from the dead. I didn't believe it, but you are. You are my God. Jesus said that all authority was given him on heaven and on earth. He is Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the only sovereign Lord. And he is one of my favorite titles of all in Revelation, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now that King, that sovereign, that Lord over all things, the creator of all life, that Lord became a baby. He took on human flesh. He humbled himself. He left his exalted position in heaven to come to earth for us. In his incarnation, he came meekly. He said, just before he was going to be taken away from the disciples, he said to them, and he did something, not only said something, he did something. He sat there during that dinner time and washed their feet. He said this in John 13, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. See, this Lord who humbled himself, who is the creator of all life, came in all his authority, in all of his power to serve us. To serve us. And he says, listen, if I've done that, you should do that too. To serve one another. To serve people. See, when we say Jesus is Lord, that means that we are saying, now it doesn't mean we're always doing it, but when we say, have you ever said Jesus is Lord? Have you ever said Jesus is my Lord? Well, you know when you're saying that, you know what that means? That you've committed yourself to obey him. Question is, are you? That's the question, are you? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? and do not what I say. See, when we truly say and mean that Jesus is Lord, we really recognize within us, if you're doing it truly, that he is the authority over all things, including you. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can help us or allow us to say that Jesus is Lord. The Bible says that. We cannot even, they can say the words, but nobody can truly say Jesus is Lord with all their heart, with not only a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge and a life that desires him to be Lord, unless the Holy Spirit allows them to do that. So here he is, the Lord. He is much more than a Savior. He is much more than a Messiah. He is all those things, but he is also the Lord of all. And as we heard last week, one day, everyone will submit to that lordship, because it says in Philippians 2:9, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess or acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord of all. See, we celebrate around Christmas time. We give gifts to one another, because what do we remember? That God gave us the indescribable gift that is a Savior, the greatest gift of all. It's the greatest gift of all. We celebrate Christmas because some people do it, and you know, they string lights on their houses and they put lights up, because we know that he is the promised Messiah, that when the world was in darkness with no hope of light, the light of the world came into the darkness. He's the Messiah. We celebrate him. We celebrate sometimes in Christmas. We did it today. We do it other times. We sing songs and carols to him, right? The expressive joy. And in all those carols, listen to those carols, so many of them. They talk about these three titles over and over in different ways, over and over. And in that, we proclaim him to be the Lord of all, just like Mary and Zacharias and Simeon and all the angels and the Magi. They said he is the Lord. But I just want to kind of leave us with this thought. Because what does this all come down to? You know, what does it really mean? We're celebrating Christmas. All right, I acknowledge the story. Yeah, I heard the story again. And guess what? I heard it again because you just said it. Okay, all right, now we have the story. So kind of like, what happens now? Well, let me just ask you a question. Have you ever known anybody to be in trouble? Real trouble? Like, you may get a phone call from somebody who's really in trouble. Let's just like, let's do like a crazy scenario, right? Say you got a call from somebody, and they hardly could hear them on their cell phone. They're like, "Oh, I'm glad I got you. Don't hang up." In fact, my cell phone's dying. I only got like 2% left. You know, I fell into a hole, like a sewer. I fell. I'm stuck. I'm not sure exactly where I am. You know. Now you know now it's a desperate situation. You're already figuring it out. It's not a prank. It's somebody you know. They wouldn't prank you like that. They're in a hole. And I know what your first thought would be. You would start saying, "Dude, how'd you fall in a hole? What, are you stupid? Weren't you watching where you're going? Come on, how could you do that? You're dumb, man. You said, wait, 1%. No, come on. How stupid of you. Can't you climb out? No, that's why I'm calling you. Would you start yelling at them? Start screaming? Some of you probably might. I don't know. I might. I don't know. I hope not. Or would you just say, listen, all right, you got 1% left. Listen. A hole's not a real bad place to be. It's quiet. You can relax a little bit. I know you've been in a really hectic life, but relax a while down in the hole. Stay there. You know? Hole's not bad. You know, would you kind of just send them happy thoughts? I'm thinking about you in the hole. Wish I was with you. Maybe I'll be there tomorrow. Send them happy thoughts. I don't think any of you guys would do that. You got a call, you'd be like, all like, 911 action, man. Dial 911, you'd be like, can you triangulate this phone call. You know, because they do it on TV, right? Triangulate. They can find anybody in 30 seconds. Oh, there they are. Yeah. Can you get my buddy's in a hole, man? I'm not sure. I'm trying to find him. You get in your car. You start driving around. I heard something. Maybe they're over here. They're on Passion Gavin. Or they're. Maybe they're down. I'm driving around looking for them, trying to help them. I know what you would do. You would take immediate action. You would do everything you could to try to find them and rescue them and take them out. Whatever it took, you would want to see them rescued and set free. Listen, that's what happened in the garden. We fell. We fell. Adam sinned and fell. And when they fell, they drug all of mankind with them. What did God do? Say, you stupids. I knew you were going to do it. How dumb are you? I put you in this beautiful place and you screwed it up. Mm-mm. He came down. He came down to rescue us. He came down to get us out. That's what Christmas is all about. God coming down from heaven to rescue us, to do whatever it took, which was his life on the cross in payment for our sin, to keep us from sure death. See, we would respond to one person in a life-threatening situation. God has responded to a whole planet. We celebrate Christmas because the rescuer of all mankind, see, it's open to all mankind, they all could be rescued if they choose to be rescued, came to save us from the hopeless situation we were in. He didn't stay in heaven. He came to us. He is our Savior. He is our Messiah. He's trustworthy, and he is our Lord. Nobody can stop him from saving who he will save. So the question is, his birth, this time of year we celebrate it. When he was actually born, we don't know. But this time of year we celebrate it. It made all the rest of it possible. He had to take on flesh first to be the Savior. But is he your Savior? Is he your Savior? Is he your Messiah? Is he your Lord? Now, he is all those things, regardless of how you feel about him. The question for yourself today is he those three things to you? Have you repented of your sin? Have you found out that you're stuck in this hole and you can't get out, and you know that you need him to get you out, the rescuer to come? And have you turned from your sin and turned toward him and said, Jesus, I need you. Would you come and rescue me? Because he will. Do you believe that he is the only one that can do it? That's the Messiah, the anointed one. Nobody else could rescue us. There's nobody else that could do what he could do. They could send a rescue squad and everything down that hole. They can't get you. Only Jesus can come in and get you. He's the only one that can get you out of that hole. Do you know that he is the only way, the Messiah? And if you do know those things, then do you know that he is your Lord? And have you humbled yourself before him? Because he humbled himself to save you. Have you humbled yourself before him to live a life pleasing to him? You heard that theme in what we were hearing about this morning between Joe's song and Mark sharing in the video up there. Is he your Lord? Will you live for him every day? Tell others about him. Could you imagine that? Get out of that hole. Dude, you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. I'm good. I'll take it from here. No, we got to check yet. No, I'm good. Well, wait. Maybe we got to tell some other people about the hole. If they fall in it, that's their problem. You know, well, don't you think you should stay here a few minutes if you're okay and tell people about? I was just stupid. I fell in. Other people, they'll see it. No, the Lord left us here to tell others, to tell us that we need a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, to do that. So, do you know? Do you know? It's interesting, as I was chewing on this, I was just thinking of a way to end the message this morning, and I just said, you know, do we know? Did Mary know? You know, we hear that song, Mary, did you know? Didn't Mary know? Well, yeah, based upon Scripture, I can tell you she knew. Listen to her words. And Mary said, Luke 1, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my, say with me, Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. She was saying in that, not only was she praising God, that she was the vessel that God would use to bring the Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord into this world, but she was also recognizing in her that she needed herself a Savior, a Messiah, and that her child would be the Lord of her life. She knew. Do you? So we celebrate Jesus. Can you truly celebrate him today? If you've never trusted him as Lord and Savior, he's calling upon you. He wants to give you the gift of eternal life. And he is the only one that can give it to you. And he has the power and authority to give it to anyone that comes to him. Will you receive him today? Will you live for him today? Will you glorify the Messiah, the promise keeper today? Father, we thank you today for your word, your truth. Lord, I pray for everyone here. Lord, and I was informed before I came up, you know this, Lord. I'm just saying this for the benefit of everybody else as we're praying, that this message was going live today. We were able to get it out today. And Lord, maybe others will pick it up and see it, and we would be able to share it today to others. But as it goes out, Father, would we today recognize you in all of these situations? Would we celebrate Christmas in the true way as Christians, to celebrate the birth, not only of a baby, an ordinary baby, but we're celebrating the birth of the Savior of the world. And we want to shout and proclaim this good news to all people, because it's open to all who would come, that the Messiah, the promised one, came. And he is, was, and will always be the Lord of all creation. So, Father, today, will we fulfill your work in us? Father, I pray for anyone today who has never received Christ, that today this would be their time. I pray that they would even, Lord, come up now as we're praying. Come out of their pew. Come up forward. And we would pray, Lord, you know, that to invite Christ into their life. Father, would the church today just rejoice in you and remember this message new and fresh in another way, to think about a story that we know so much and we've heard so often, but today we begin to live it out. We would commit ourselves to trust your promises, to be fishers of men, and to tell others about you. And as we, Lord God, live our lives and commit our lives every day to live with you as Lord of our life, that, Lord, we know that others will see your lordship in and through us, through our humility to serve them. And they would ask us the question of why we have such a great hope. And we would be able to tell them about the Lord who became flesh to save us from our sin. So, Lord, we commit it all into your hands. We thank you as we praise you and worship you now in song. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing this song together. Let's stand together. Don't rush right out, but encourage one another. You have time before you have to gather with family and friends later and show the Lord.